I think it's easier to go this way. Gloria. She's my babysitter today now. Thank you.
He is risen. He is risen. And we're going to celebrate that. We celebrate it every day, but we're going to celebrate it in Scripture again today. And I'm going to ask that you turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1. Matthew 28, beginning in verse 1. If you will, please stand with me in honor of God's words this morning. Matthew 28, beginning in verse number 1. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. And his countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him, and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. And he said, come and see the place where they laid the Lord, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." Father, I thank you again for this day. I thank you for grace and for mercy. I thank you for the forgiveness of sins, for a love that we just can't understand the fullness of. But Lord, we receive the gift of your love. We accept your mercy and your grace. And we ask for forgiveness every day. Draw us closer to you, Father. Help us to see the fullness of who you are and the truth of who you are. Help us to live the life you have called us to live, and to celebrate and to share the testimony of life in you. And Father, be with us in this time and strengthen us, we pray, as your people, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be seated, please. What a wonderful, wonderful, majestic thing this must have been for those women who came to the tomb. An angel sitting there and greeting them. He had some others off to the side, afraid, fearful of their life, even, I would imagine. And to the women, he's like, "Don't be afraid. I know why you have come. You have come to see your friend, to take care of things possibly that might need to be taken care of. But the stone is moved. It's out of place. The tomb is open." And he says, "He's not here, for he is risen. Come and let me show you that he's not here. And then I want you to go and tell his disciples that he is risen, and that he goes before you, and he will meet you in Galilee." What a wonderful moment that must have been. Can you imagine? I mean, the soldiers were fearful, but even the women must have had some sense of fear within them. Some sense of uncertainty about what it was they were facing and experiencing. And, you know, any number of things might have gone through their mind about an empty tomb, and they saw that Jesus was gone. I mean, we already know that they had the word out that the body had been stolen. You know, you read in the gospel account some of the things that they tried to spread to diminish the glory of who Jesus is. But the women had been told, he's not here. He's not here because he's alive, because he is risen. And not only is he risen, but he's headed out to Galilee. Tell his disciples and he will meet them there. You know, it's amazing how many of us today, we look at a cross and we see the suffering. We see the pain that must have been endured. I mean, when I look at a cross, that's what I see. I see a love for me that I can't find to such that great a depth anywhere else. My wife loves me, y'all. As much as I pick on her and have put before her to deal with, she still loves me. She takes care of me. God takes care of us both. Jesus loves us both even more than we can love each other. And I celebrate Jesus when I see the cross. I don't look at a cross with Jesus still hanging on it. I know a lot of people have those. But Jesus ain't nailed to the cross anymore, folks. That's an empty cross. And the pain and the suffering that it represents, don't look at him as being there anymore. He has conquered the cross. He has taken death by the throat and said, no more will you have control. Because he is King, he is Lord, and he is Savior. I think about who Jesus is, looking at the cross and looking at Scripture. And there are so many wonderful moments and wonderful points that we could talk about concerning Jesus. But I want to remind you that Jesus was someone that they didn't even know who he was just a few short years earlier. John the Baptist had come and he was a voice in the wilderness and he was preaching a repentance that was needed, a baptism of repentance. And he said to the people as they were gathering around, there stands one among you whom you do not know. And I am not even worthy to tie his sandals. I mean, as much as the people thought of John the Baptist, he was telling them, hey, you need to start looking around you because there's somebody else that is among us who is greater than any that has ever been. He wanted us to know. He wanted us to know that someone who would do wonderful things was about to reveal themselves. Jesus. You think about the wonderful things that he did. He walked on the water. Did y'all know that Jesus walked on the water? His disciples in a boat and they were traveling out over the Sea of Galilee and a storm came up and it was frightful, it was fearful. How many of you have ever been in a boat in a storm? You know, I mean sometimes even a storm on a lake, it's a frightful thing. You get out in the ocean with a storm. What a frightful thing. I have seen storms on both lakes and on the ocean that are amazing. Experiences I'll never forget. Just like those disciples in a boat out on the sea, on the Sea of Galilee, and afraid the storm, the water must have been lapping over the sides, and then they see Jesus walking on the water, and it says they were afraid because they thought he was a ghost. He was a ghost, and you remember he said, don't be afraid. It's me. Peter said, oh, well, if it's you, Lord, let me come out to you. Call me out. He said, come on. Y'all don't mind if I put it in terms today we'd use, right? Peter said, hey, y'all, I'm going to give this a try. He grabbed a boat and stepped over the side. Started walking on the water with Jesus. And then he saw the waves around him. And he took his eyes off of Jesus and began to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. You remember what Jesus said? Oh, ye of little faith. And he lifted him out of the water. They got in the boat. And he calmed the winds. And he calmed the waves. What a wonderful thing that must have been to see. I've never seen a storm just stop. Not like that. But it did. Not only did he do that, he gave a blind man sight. Not just a blind man. You remember the man that was born blind. He was born without the ability to see. Never seen anything in his life. And Jesus comes around and grabs some dust, spits on the dirt and rubs it in, puts it on his eyes and tells him to go wash. The guy sees. And he's amazed. He doesn't know who Jesus was. John said, there stands one among you whom you do not know. And this blind man, he didn't know who he was. But he knew he could see. He knew there were a lot of people that were upset about it. He even went to the temple. They brought him in there and challenged him. Brought in his mom and dad. Said, is this the guy? You're telling me he was born blind? Mom and dad, you know, they were afraid of the priest. You heard what they said, right? He's of age. You ask him what happened. Don't pull us into this. Aren't you glad you got parents that are willing to stand stronger by your side than that? Well, aren't you glad you've got a Jesus who's willing to stand by your side stronger than that? Because let me tell you how wonderful this was to the blind man who could now see. He stood in strength before those priests and he says, I don't know what this is and I don't know how you can't tell what is going on, but though I was blind, now I can see. He knew who Jesus was. And he understood. Not only would Jesus walk on the water and heal the sight of a blind man, he would raise his friend Lazarus from the dead. Stood before the tomb. Took his time getting there. Friends called to him and said, hey, your friend Lazarus, he's sick. And Jesus said, okay. Took his time getting there. How many of you ever feel like Jesus takes his time getting there? You have a moment in your life. You have an issue in life. Something that's troubling you. You need it taken care of. And you go to the Lord. Lord, help me. And you know he hears you. How many of you know that Christ hears you when you call out to him? Amen? He hears you. Well, how many of you stand there in a couple hours and say, Lord, where are you? Why aren't you here? Because he showed up where his friend Lazarus was, and that's what they did. Lord, if you'd have just come when we told you, when we needed you. Oh, Jesus was about to do something that was miraculous, wonderful. You know what is really amazing is that the religious leaders of the time, the Jewish leadership, they had a couple of different groups. One were Sadducees and one were Pharisees. And here's the old theology joke. The Sadducees didn't believe in life after death. That's why they were sad, you see. The Pharisees, they did believe in life after death. And these two groups would argue about these kinds of things. Well, no, there's not life after death. Well, yes, there is. Jesus had something important to say about it. We could talk about that, but there's something he did that shows even greater power in truth and in strength in who he is. Because there was something about what the Pharisees believed. They thought if a person died, that the soul left the body completely in 3 days. And it was done. And Jesus showed up on the fourth day. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. And they were like, Lord, don't roll the stone back. There's got to be stinky in there now. Ooh, he's been dead for 4 days. Lazarus, come forth. And he came out of the tomb and Jesus said, loose him, set him free, and feed him. And you imagine the wonder of it. And everybody was complaining, you weren't here on time. You didn't do what we needed you to do. Oh, my friends, don't put Jesus in a box. Let Him do in His will, in His way, in His time. You will see a greater wonder than if you just restrict Him to how you want it done. Don't put those limits on Christ. Here is what you will see. Something wonderful. Calming the fear of the storm. Giving you the ability to see Him for who He is. Showing you He can answer you. And provide for you in ways that are more greater than you can understand. John said, there's one that stands among you whom you don't know. Someone who would do wonderful things. Someone would not just do wonderful things, but someone who would endure the evil within the hearts of men. Before He was crucified, He had made so many people shout with elation and announce His entrance into the city of Jerusalem. Hosanna! 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 And in just a few days, they would scream before Him, give us Barabbas! Crucify Him! Crucify Him! How can a heart go from Hosanna, Hosanna to crucify Him? Crucify Him! How could He stand before the crowd and face that after all He had done for so many? How could He stand before a friend whom He had been with, close and personal with, and say to them, Judas, with a kiss you betray me? With a kiss you betray me. And then, how He could hang from the cross and love us beyond reason. How He could hang from the cross and say, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. How is it they didn't know? I look at us in our world today. How is it that we don't know what it is we do when we sin against Christ, when we reject Christ, when we trade Him in for something else? Immediately there before us. When we complain that He's not on time. When we say to Him, oh, I'm in a troubled spot, Lord, where are You? How is it that we don't know? How is it that they didn't know? Do we really want to answer those questions? John told him, there was someone among you that you don't even know, and oh, how wonderful He is. I'm not even worthy to tie His sandal straps. And I'm telling you today, there is still someone among us today. Somebody might not know Him here today. Someone might not know Him and know Him for who He is and for all of His glory. Someone who might not understand the words that are spoken by this angel when he said He's not here. He is risen. Someone that even those who should understand forget and walk away from at times thinking, well, He's not here. He's always here. And He's always with us. And He's always wonderful. And He's not someone we don't know. In fact, He's someone we should know better. Because we have called to Him for help and for forgiveness of sins. Not only was He someone who did wonderful things and endured the evils within the heart of men, He was someone who revealed Himself as Lord. Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Our great and mighty Savior, Jesus Christ. The first and the last. None before and none who will come after. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but He is risen. And I want you to hear these words. He goes before you. Tell His disciples, He's going before you. You know, there's some other things that we could call upon in Scripture, but I want to remind you of this. Jesus Himself said these words, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Where I am, you may also be. And if it were not so, I would have told you. In My Father's mansion, there are many rooms. And I go to prepare a place for you. So you can be with Me. And Thomas, good old Thomas. Lord, we don't know where You're going. How are we going to know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father but by Me. I want y'all to remember Thomas. The angel told the women to go tell the disciples Jesus was going to Galilee and He would meet them there. And He did. He met them in Galilee. There He was. One of them was missing, good old Thomas. And he didn't believe. I won't believe it unless I see Him myself. I won't believe it unless I put my hands in His and in His side. I won't believe it. And they were gathered again and old Thomas is there now. Jesus shows up and He says to him, Thomas, put your hand here in Mine. Here, reach and touch My side. Thomas, who didn't know the way, and wouldn't believe unless he had done these things, fell on his knees and said, My Lord and My God. I don't know what it takes for some people to understand who Jesus is and to understand how He has revealed Himself and how He will be with us in life. He is always going before us to meet us in life when the storms of life are there. When you have trouble in your life, Jesus is there to help you. He will calm the storm if you will call out to Him. If you can't see how it's going to happen, just open your eyes and see Him. And it will be done. If you will listen to His call, you can stand before the grave and face the fears of mortality and what death is and walk away strengthened knowing that you have life in Jesus and that the grave is nothing but the step into greater life in Him. He is risen. And He didn't just rise so He could be alone. He went to prepare a place for you so that where He is, there you can be also. If you will believe, He said it to Thomas, don't be unbelieving, but believe and be saved in Him. He is risen. He lives. He lives. And you can live through your faith in Him. If you will just come to His calling. Can you trust Him? Absolutely. Will you trust Him? That's the question. Will you believe? Will you accept what He shows you? Will you trust Him to be there when everything else seems to go wrong? I'm pleading with you. I am telling you the same as John the Baptist said, there stands one among you whom you do not know. And if you don't know Him, know Him today. Know His peace. Know His love, His mercy, and His compassion in life every day. And know peace with the Father. Don't let the world have its control over you any longer. Will you give yourself to Christ as He has given Himself for you? The door is open. The time is now. Will you come? Will you come? Father, I thank You so much for this day. I thank You for the celebration of life, for the wonder of who You are, the power that is within You to give life and to give hope and to share it with all who will come. And Father, I pray today, I pray for forgiveness. I pray for lives to be changed, to be renewed. And I pray, Father, for hope and for joy to abound, for hearts to overflow with the excitement of living for You. Father, I praise You. I give thanks for You. And I trust You. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you come?